Good evening. Would you turn in your Bibles tonight back to that Genesis passage, Genesis chapter 46. As you're turning there, I bring you greetings from Prosperity Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church in Taft, Tennessee, who this very day hath unanimously approved a call to her next generation pastor. There's a wonderful story behind all that. Amazing that God has showed us his will and his sovereign providential working and all that. If you'd like to hear that story, I'd love to tell it to you. So tonight, we're going to take a look at this piece of Genesis. I've been preaching through Genesis at Prosperity. We finished some weeks ago, and I want to bring this sermon that I preached several weeks ago to you tonight. And the title of the sermon is Honor Thy Father and Thy Mother. Honor Thy Father and Thy Mother. And hopefully we'll be able to see how that bears itself out in this passage tonight. Now, something I learned from your pastor, as we come here, we love coming here on Sunday nights to worship the Lord. As Pastor Davidson often takes well-crafted words from catechisms as they've been thoroughly thought through, and he reads them or quotes them to you before he preaches a passage. I thought there's such great value in that. I thought I'd do the same this evening, and I did it at our church as well. The Westminster Confession and its catechisms talk about the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, and they break it down to questions and answers that are well considered and well thought out. And you know, as well as the writers of the confession, that commandment goes beyond mom and dad. It goes to those in authority over us, those that God has put in authority over us. Now, the Westminster writers will use the word inferiors and superiors to refer to those who are in rank by God's providence above us. They were not bigoted at the time, and in those language, those words are often misunderstood in our day. So when we use the word inferior and superior, as I read this catechism answer, it just refers to the inferiors would be those who owe honor to those who are superior because God has placed them in rank above you, okay? So this is the question and the answer. What is the honor that inferiors owe to their superiors? The honor which inferiors owe to their superiors is all due reverence in heart, word, and behavior, prayer and thanksgiving for them, imitation of their virtues and graces, willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels, due submission to their corrections, fidelity to, defense, and maintenance of their persons and authority, according to their several ranks and the nature of their places, bearing with their infirmities and covering them in love so that they may be an honor to them and to their government. Well, that's obviously a packed paragraph, and we could spend quite a long time just unpacking that, but it was so carefully thought out, and it captures everything that we've learned over the years about what it means to honor our father and our mother that I thought I would lay it out before us tonight. My grandfather, on my mom's side, from time to time over the years, would remind me that that's the commandment with a promise. Amen. I thought, wow, you know, it meant something to him. And I watched him as he honored his mom and dad. I remember when my dad passed, he was still living. And me and all the siblings, we would be driving to Kentucky a lot more than we had on average before. And he commented even then as he watched me and my sister driving to Kentucky more frequently to look after mom, to make sure she was okay, and to throw our love on her, and to watch over her. He pulled me aside and said, I've noticed that. I've seen the honor that you all pay to your mother. He noticed it. That commandment meant a lot to him. Now, I'm going to give you three words tonight as we walk through this passage that speaks to honoring our father and our mother. And some of it will apply to our natural mom and dad. And more of it will apply to those who are our superiors as God has set them in rank above us. And the three words are simply love, respect, and blessing. Love, respect, and blessing. These are the ways that we may honor our fathers and our mothers. We will see in this passage that Joseph will pour out his love on his dad when his dad comes into the land of Goshen. It will be obvious, and we'll try to break that open. But I want you to see the child immensely, visibly, physically throwing his love upon his father, and in doing so, showing him honor. God had placed Pharaoh in rank above all of Israel at the time. They were inferior to his superiority in rank. And what I'll also show you is respect. When Joseph and five of his brothers go before Pharaoh to address Pharaoh, you will see the brothers show respectful language. They will refer to themselves as the servants of Pharaoh. And they will say, please let us do this. And this is the language of respect as they show honor to one whom God has placed in superiority to them. And finally, we'll see Jacob himself come before Pharaoh. And here we'll see blessing. It's easy to miss when you speed read through the Old Testament. But in that little piece of scripture, what we see is when Jacob comes before Pharaoh, it says he blessed Pharaoh. And then they had a little bit of dialogue. And then when Jacob left, he blessed Pharaoh. And we'll even see that as Jacob spoke with Pharaoh, his words were a blessing. And so Jacob honored Pharaoh, who was his superior in rank by God's providence, by being a blessing and pronouncing a blessing. So there you have the entire sermon in the first 5 minutes, and now you're going to get it again in the next 20 or so. But I wanted you to have it up front so you know where I'm going. Well, first of all, then, I would like to show you that one way we honor our parents, one way we honor those who are superior to us, is love, by simply loving them. I see this in chapter 46, verses 28 through 30. Would you turn your attention once again to the Word of God? He had sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to show the way before him to Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. Then Joseph prepared his chariot. He went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. He presented himself to him, and he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck a good while. Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face and know that you are still alive." I hope you can see the immense love that Joseph is pouring out upon his father. And if you will remind yourselves of the story of Genesis, it becomes even weightier. You will know that Joseph's brothers had lied about Jacob's son having been killed by an animal and the coat of many colors and all the blood. And years had gone by where Jacob's favorite son, Joseph, was presumed dead by Jacob. And you know, in God's good providence, he had taken Joseph into Egypt and had raised him up to second in command. He was the chief executive officer of all of Egypt as Pharaoh put him in place because he'd interpreted the dreams of 7 years of greatness and then 7 years of famine. And then as God would have it through the providences of God, finally the brothers are brought in because of the famine. And they are realizing, they find out who Joseph is, and they are humbled and they're afraid and all that sort of thing. And Joseph is very gracious to them. And because the famine is so bad, go get dad. And all of Israel, all the nation of Israel, all the clans, all the families moved into Goshen, into Egypt. And here's Jacob coming finally into Egypt with the whole entire clan of all of the Israelites. Years had gone by where he had not laid eyes upon his son. Years had gone by where Joseph had not laid eyes upon his dad. And dad is in the land. Now here's the thing. Chief executive officers are incredibly busy. If you know any chief executive officers of any company, you will have a very hard time getting on their calendar. They're incredibly busy. If you could have raced back into the year, zipped through time, and gotten into Joseph's day timer, he would have been a very busy man upon the day in which his dad came into Goshen. And he cleared his calendar. There's nothing more important than seeing my dad. He could have sent servants. He could have sent 100 servants. He could have sent anybody he wanted. He could have rode the taxi cab. But no, he took his own chariot. He prepared his own chariot and he rode to meet his dad. And when he sees his dad, he falls upon his neck, weeping and crying in love, pouring out his love upon his father. Jacob is so delighted to finally lay eyes upon his son Joseph and to see this outpouring of love on his son that he had lost. He says these words, which might strike you as strange. He says, but now I can die. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? It's as if his life is fully complete now. It's never going to get any better than this moment. Let me die now. It's only downhill from here. It's never going to get any better than this moment. That's the joy that Jacob feels when his son pours out this great love upon his neck. There was a story of a man named Diagoras of Rhodes who lived in the 5th century B.C. And it was in the day when they used to have the Roman and Greek games. You know, these were the, it was like the Olympics. They had all the games of the Olympics. And Diagoras, did I say his name? Yep, Diagoras, he had 3 boys. And all 3 boys were competing in the Olympic games of the Roman and the Greeks. And 2 of his sons got first place. One was in boxing. I can't remember how the story goes about the other one, but they got the first place. You know, you stand on the podium in the Olympics these days, you get the gold medal. And that's not what you did in that day. In that day, you got this wreath that was put up on your head. And both those boys found their father in the crowd, and they gave all the honor to their dad. They took the wreath off their head, and they put it up on their father's head. And the entire crowd watched this amazing act of love, this amazing act of honor that these boys were given to their dad. They begin to shout and they pick the man up on their shoulders. And do you know what the crowd yelled out to the man? Die. Sounds weird, doesn't it? But it was this concept. They were telling the man, you're never going to be happier than this moment. Because your sons have reached the epic victory and all of their strivings and all of their athletic endeavors. And they have taken all the glory that was given to them and they have honored you and loved you by putting it up on your brow. Life is never going to get any better than this. As the story goes, in 448 BC, as Diagoras of Rhodes was being carried up on their shoulders and the crowds were saying, die now, he did. So it goes. Well, let me ask you, how do you love your parents? How do you show love to your parents? We live in a day of incredible busyness. I can spend hours on my iPhone. And if I don't have work on my iPhone, I can read the news on the iPhone. We can make ourselves incredibly busy. How do you honor your dad? How do you honor your mom? How do you love them? How do you show your love to them? Sometimes it's easy. It's not always easy. Some people have parents that aren't very lovable. Some Christian people have parents that were ungodly and are still harsh and maybe hard to get along with. You still have obligations to love and honor your parents, to throw out your love. Honor your parents by pouring out your love on them in their presence. Let them speak evil to you, but you speak tender to them. Honor your Father in heaven with your presence, with real devotion. We have a Father in heaven. How do you honor him? Come into his presence. Worship him on the Lord's day. It's his day. So the first word is love. I see here Joseph honoring his dad by pouring out his love. Nothing more important. Upon his father Jacob. Secondly, honor by respect. I see this in the next verses 31 through 47, 6. And before we read it, there's another sub theme going on here that I want you to understand what that's all about before we read it. So, because it sounds strange if you don't know what's going on. What you're going to see and what I'm going to focus on is the honor and respect that the boys will show Pharaoh in the language that they use. They will say, we are your servants. Would you please let us do this? But the other story that's going on there is that the Israelites want to live in Goshen together as a family. Egyptians have a bigotry problem. They don't like shepherds. They hate shepherds. They despise shepherds. You're going to hear it when we read the passage again. Egyptians, they just don't like shepherds. So they're going to be respectful to Pharaoh, but Joseph's going to say, be sure to tell them you're shepherds, so that they will put you all together in Goshen. We want to live as a family in Goshen. And if you tell Pharaoh we're shepherds, 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 he won't split you across all of Egypt and divide the family and the clan. We'll all get to live together. That's the plan. Now, you'll see it as we read through it the second time a little more slowly. But pick up on the note, Egyptians hate shepherds. They despise them. They look down on them. And Joseph and the brothers are going to capitalize on the moment. Be sure to tell them we're shepherds. That way, we'll all live over here. And in the good providence of God, let's not forget to give God the glory. Remember what comes next. We aren't finished with the 7 years of famine. And all the Egyptians are going to end up running out of money. And Pharaoh here is going to say, well, since you're shepherds, and if you're really gifted shepherds, maybe they can take care of my animals too. And as the famine wears on, Joseph, who's in charge of everybody, and they run out of money, all the Egyptians say, would you please just take our animals and let us have grain? And so all the animals of the Egyptians are going to go to Pharaoh. And guess who gets to take care of all the animals? I want you to see the wondrous graciousness of God, how he sovereignly takes care of his people. But enough of that. I'm talking about honor. The brothers will honor and show honor to their superior, Pharaoh, in the language that they use. Look for it as we read chapter 46, verse 31 through 47, 6. 46, 31 then. Joseph said to his brothers and his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh and will say to him, my brothers and my father's household who are in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for they have been keepers of livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all they have. Now when Pharaoh calls you and says, what's your occupation? You shall say, your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. See, it really was in there. So Joseph went in and told Pharaoh, my father and my brothers with their flocks and herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. They live in the land of Goshen. And from among his brothers he took five men and presented them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to his brothers, what is your occupation? And they said to Pharaoh, notice the language, your servants are shepherds, as our fathers were. They are demeaning themselves to Pharaoh. Your servants. We are your servants. This, you see, is respectful language. This is a way of honor. Now they said to Pharaoh, we have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks. There it is again. For the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. And now please, notice the word, would you please? Fathers never talk to their four-year-old child and say, would you please do this? Now you might because you're teaching them how to say please. But you expect your children to ask you please. You understand saying please and referring to yourself as a servant is a way of showing respect. It's a way of showing honor. Now please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them settle in the land of Goshen. And if you know any able men among them, put them in charge of my livestock. Lots of going on there. But what I want you to notice is that Joseph and his family, the whole clan of all of Israel, they don't want to be split apart. They want to live as a family. And they're going to get to do that in the good providence of God. And as they come before the one whom God has placed in rank above them, which is Pharaoh, less godly, he's no paragon of virtue. He's a godless polytheist. He's not a Christian man. And yet even to one such as he, they show respect. And their language is respectful and is honorable. You know, it's true for us as well, isn't it? We're supposed to speak this way to those who are in rank above us, even if they're godless. You heard the elder tonight pray for our leaders. Not all of our leaders are godly. And yet he prayed for them because God teaches us to do that. Some of you may or may not like our current president. Some find him to be promoting things which are godless. And don't particularly care for the way he governs. And there was a car race of some sort. I don't know what kind. Was a Indianapolis 500? No, it was some sort of car race. And there was a, it was NASCAR. And there was a driver whose name was Brandon. And there was a reporter who was at the car race. And the people were chanting a curse against the president. I'm not going to quote it. But the reporter thought, they said, "Let's go, Brandon," as if they were cheering for the race car driver. But what they were really doing was cursing the president. I hope those words have never crossed your lips, because that is dishonoring the one whom God has placed above us. Right? In fact, the president was reaching out to just an American. I don't know who. And that particular American didn't like the president. And apparently the president hadn't caught wind of the story yet. And it made all the conservative news channels. As the president was talking to the man, and the man said, "Let's go, Brandon." And the president didn't know what he was talking about. He said, "Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And all of those on the other political aisle have made mockery of it and made fun of it. And many Christians are tempted to join them. And yet, it is dishonoring to God. It's dishonoring to God. Because he is the one who told us to speak respectfully to those whom he has placed over us. God placed Biden over us and has taught us to speak respectfully. Now, I will say, those on the other side of the political aisle can be absolutely maddening. They can invoke you to anger. But note this, Pharaoh was no paragon of virtue. He was a polytheist. He was a racist. And yet God's people spoke honorably and respectfully to him. And this was respecting and honoring our Father. So we honor our fathers and our mothers by love, by respect, and by blessing. By blessing. Now, what I mean by blessing is you can be a blessing. You can be a blessing to your parents. You can be a blessing to your boss. We are directed by scriptures to be a blessing to our boss, even if our boss is mean. We are supposed to be a blessing to them to help them be successful, because what we're really doing is honoring God by honoring those whom he has put over us by being a blessing to them. Now, what I want you to see next is Jacob is now going to come before Pharaoh. And what you're going to see here is two times Jacob will bless Pharaoh. He comes into Pharaoh's presence and he blesses them. They have a little dialogue. And before Jacob leaves, he blesses them. It's easy to miss when you speed read the scriptures, but let's make note. Chapter 47, verse 7 to verse 12. Then Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and stood before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. There's number one. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How many are the days of the years of your life?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. And they have not attained the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the days of their sojourning." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. He blessed him. They had a short dialogue. And he blessed him again. Surely Jacob was showing honor and respect to Pharaoh. I don't know how he blessed him. You know, maybe he walked into Pharaoh's presence, and maybe he tipped the knee or bowed the head and lifted his hands up and says, "May the God of my fathers be a blessing to you." Maybe something like that. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine. I don't know what he said. We don't know. We simply know that he blessed them. But he didn't just bless them with the words of blessing. He also blessed them with what he had to say in answering the questions. Did you notice that Pharaoh said, "How old are you?" Now, this was just Pharaoh's way of being curious, you know. Here's an old guy. Man, he's been around for a while. He's had several sunburns. "How old are you?" Jacob, in his words, communicates that he is just a passer through on this earth. My home is not here. My home is somewhere else. I'm a sojourner. Did you notice twice he said sojourner? I'm just a sojourner. My years are few. They've been hard and full of evil. But I'm a sojourner. I'm just passing through. Where's he going? He's going where all God's people are going. This is not your home. We're just passing through. Isn't it interesting how simple words of simple truth can be a blessing to those who are not Christian? To simply say something like, "Life's short. I'm going to meet my maker soon." Isn't that a blessing? He blessed them. His words were a blessing as they spoke simple, humble, respectful truth about the shortness of life, and life doesn't end right here. We're going somewhere. Where are you going, Pharaoh? We're going somewhere. Many of you know that God has graciously given us our daughter back. Some of you don't know that story, and if you want to know it, I'll be happy to tell you, because Jesus gets all the glory. He gets all the credit. My wife and I have commented on more than one occasion, we got her back better than we had her before. And she honors her mom and dad by being a blessing. My wife likes freezer biscuits, but she doesn't like to make them. But she likes to eat them every morning. So every morning, if I'm up before she is, I get the oven on, because my daughter has made her freezer biscuits to be a blessing to her mom, honoring her mom. That's how you honor your parents, by being a blessing to them. I'm glad this room is full of young people, because I want you to hear about loving your moms and dads. I want you to hear about speaking respectfully to them. I want you to hear about being a blessing to them, because it's God's word to honor your mother and your father. Sometimes the best way to bless the wicked is a gentle, respectful, spoken truth. Pretty much what Jacob did to Pharaoh. You know, we're not promised another day. We're going to meet our maker one day. That's just a simple truth that even godless people understand. You know, godless people who don't have faith in Jesus Christ, they fear death. And the more they have to face it, God can use those things to awaken them to seek him if he is calling them. Are you a blessing to your parents, or do you make them grieve? What about difficult parents? How can you honor them? How can you be a blessing to a difficult parent, an obstinate parent? You know, sometimes we parents, as we get to be grandparents, we hurt a lot, and we get grouchy and grumpy. Don't take it personal. Love them. Bless them. Respect them. Be a blessing. Because God has said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to take to heart the truths of your word and the examples of your patriarchs as they show honor, as Joseph poured out his love upon his dad, and as the brothers spoke so respectfully to one whom you had placed above them, and how Jacob in his aged years comes before the godless Pharaoh and pronounces a blessing and is coming in and is going out. Help us, Lord, remind us, Lord, of your word and your truth as we walk in this life. In Jesus' name.